I feel rather awkward giving this report tonight, since there are people who know a whole lot more about Roberta than Dan does. Roberta's been through here so many times. She worships with us and usually sits back in the McLeod area back over there, and Cynthia Parker and that group that sits right back over there. And she'll just show up here on the way, either going to Haiti or coming back from there. And sometimes we're not even aware of her presence. But by the grace of God, I was able to go and teach the book of Revelation over there about a month ago. And when I came back and told the elders about the impressions that work made on me, it really, really gave me a lot of joy when they said, well, the whole church needs to hear about this. I think we know Philippians 4:19, know that passage there. We talked about it, did we not? And that is that these things that are happening that we are a part of supporting abound to our account, not to the account of that individual who's doing the work, though the Lord notices every cup of cold water that's given. And yet you and I need to understand that fellowship in Christ, communion in Christ, means we share this together. I'm not sure exactly what our monthly support is of Roberta. It's what, less than, it's about $100. Is it two, got a big, bigger number, 200, 300, 400? 150 or something, 140 or whatever, 1,400. I don't know what those numbers mean. Okay, and then there are some other individuals who are sending contributions and everything. And so tonight I want us to talk about the work that's being done there. And we owe a great debt to David and Charlene May. David was a member of this church for several years, and he is really our connection with Roberta. Charlene was already in Haiti when I went down there, and David and I went down together. Now, if you don't know where Haiti is, go to Cuba and turn left and go 45 miles. That might give you some idea as to where that is. It is the third poorest country on earth. You've got to think about it. And the most poverty-stricken country in the Western Hemisphere. And people literally are starving to death down there. And it's a very emotional, traumatic kind of thing to try to be in the midst of that kind of hurt and to see all of those things that are transpiring. I want us to go to Roberta's house and give you some layout of the house so these pictures will make some evidence to you. If you look down on the bottom right of the compound that is there, there's a little gate there's a white space. That's the way you would enter into her house. And the next several slides, we'll just go in and at that gate, and we'll look over to the right and then look at the house. And then we'll come back on this side of the house. There's a mechanical building that's there. There's the guest house that's there. And this area over here is called, they refer to it as the nutrition center. And so the first part of this is just going to be where Roberta is with her family, to give you some idea of what these next several slides are. As you enter into the gate, you look over to the right, and if I hit a wrong, oh, there it is. You look over to the right, and there is her front yard, and it's not that large when you consider she has 29 children living in that house, and you put all of them out in the front yard, and the front yard is full, and there's hardly any backyard at all. You can look there, you'll see the truck that she drives almost all of the time. And that'll give you some idea of the what the house looks like. The blue tarp there has nothing to do with the hurricane. That tarp was put there because the weekend that we were there, there's the nutrition center, and we'll talk more about that later. But because the study on Revelation was going over in the nutrition center, they brought the 100 children they feed, 2 meals a day, 5 days a week. They brought that over to the house, and that's where they fed 100 children that day. You can also see in that picture the truck that she drives, and that was a godsend in many respects. Just to give you some idea of the kinds of thing that's happening there, Roberta's life is in danger all of the time. Just a few months before we got there, there was an individual who made it inside that fence. And by the way, it's a concrete block fence. It's either 8 or 10 feet high with razor wire on the top. Some way he got inside the compound and was waiting outside the door to kidnap her. Her life hangs in the balance. What was it? 18 months ago when David May was going down and word came that there was at least a rumor that he was going to be, that Roberta and perhaps David was going to be kidnapped. David delayed his trip by a day, went the next day, and part of the evidence of was the headlight in this truck was broken, and that would have been a marker for anybody who wanted to kidnap them. And so David rode from the airport, I'm assuming in this truck, laying down in the back floor of it to get back to the campaign, or back to the compound, I mean. And it's a very, very interesting place to look. Yes, there's a truck that some brethren in Tennessee have given to Roberta, and it's not running at the moment. To give you some idea, and we'll be talking, giving Roberta a lot of praise. I believe she can do anything on earth. A mechanic was out there working on this truck, and I walked out, and she was talking to the mechanic. He was almost like a shade tree mechanic, you know, rode up on a little motorbike, and he was working on it. And Roberta said, well, if you can just get a fuel pump, I know how to put it on. And that's not the way you would think a young lady from the Carolinas would be. But I have never in my life met anybody who's using herself more for the Lord. Now, you've seen the house, and I want to emphasize that house is not large at all. There are two floors on it, and the bottom floor has a area where there's a kitchen table, and we'll be looking at that. It has two adjoining rooms that you might call a living room, and that's all there, other than the little kitchen area, that's all there is on the bottom floor. And my estimation about the square footage of those two rooms that sort of adjoined side by side, it must be about 10 by 15 feet, something like that, not large at all. And the other room is not any larger than that. And then there's the upstairs. And, you know, I didn't go upstairs the whole time I was there. I understand there are 5 bedrooms up there, upstairs, 2 for the boys, 2 for the girls, and then the one for Roberta and the babies. And we'll talk about that just a little bit later. Here's the carport, and when there are that many people in the house, there are people sitting under the carport during the days and all the rest. If you walk to the left side, and that's where we're going to walk, right down this path here. As you walk to the left, there is the truck, and then you can look over into the nutrition center, and that'll give you some idea of the height of that fence and the barbed wire, the razor wire that is there, just to keep people from coming in to kidnap her. I mean, and she has no money, but she is in the eyes of the Haitian a rich American. We were driving one day, and Roberta stopped by some denominational church and said that man was kidnapped. He's been kidnapped 3 times. And this denominational church said just a few months ago, he got up and he said, we've got $15,000 for a new roof for the building. And that afternoon he was kidnapped. Guess what the ransom demand was? I don't have an evil enough mind. I told that to somebody here, and they said he probably arranged his own kidnapping. You know, I mean, and I never even thought about that. But you know, that might work too. You know, get people to give, and then to be kidnapped. We'll come back and talk about this nutrition center in a minute. And then we're just walking back toward the back of the house, and there's another vehicle that they've had. Don't even know if that one runs at all. They're concrete blocks where they're trying to add on some of these things. Just to the left of that blue truck is where the mechanical room is, and that's where they've got a generator in case the power runs out, and it's just like a storage shed. And then you go back behind the house and you head to the guest house, and that's where we were able to stay. But you need to recognize when there are 29 children in the house, there's quite a bit of washing that goes on. And every child there, except maybe the babies, the 5 babies, every child does their own washing. And so there's always, on those clotheslines out there, there's always clothes that's being washed. And if you just go under the clothesline and go back to where you see the white sand or gravel that's back there, the guest house is back there to the left. There's a water tower that you can see there. And the guest house has, I guess you'd call it, how would you describe it, 2 rooms? It has a room, and the big room there has 2 bunk beds in it. And there's about a 3-foot passageway between the 2 bunk beds, and at the end of the bunk beds, you may have 3 feet, and that's how big that room is. And then there's a room that has a couch, and it takes up a 2-person couch, and it takes up that entire room. And then there's a shower that's in there. And by the way, Roberta did the plumbing and put in the shower too, just to talk about the kind of multi-talented person that she is. This is as you're going back to the guest house and you look upstairs, and that's just the bedrooms that are upstairs, and you can just thought you'd want to have a view of that. That's the guest house, and on that door is a sign that says, "Welcome Dan and Dave." Charlene was already there, so that's where we stayed, and that's it. Just to the left of it, they're trying to enlarge on that. And there's Roberta, an amazing person. I want to spend a few minutes talking about her. She is remarkable in the way she's devoted her life to the Lord. She's sitting in one of those rooms. If you can look over, you can see Charlene in the other room to give you some idea as to how small that living area is. But if you're inside the house, when they have their morning devotion or their evening devotion, that's exactly where they have that devotion. A little few things about Roberta. She grew up in the Carolinas. She went to Freed Hardeman and met a Haitian student that was there, and then she and her husband went back to Haiti, and they really had it rough that was there. They lived in a two-room house, and she's told stories about gophers running across the bed in the middle of the night. I mean, that's just that's the level of it. She started the Sunday school out in her front yard. She had 200 children in that Sunday school she conducted out in her front yard. Her husband was manic depressive, and these are sort of her words to describe him. In just a very short time, he'd go out and knock on doors and use all of that energy that he had, and they had, baptized 30 or 40 people, and the work was going real good. She said then that depressive part would kick in, and that was not so good. And long story short, he finally ran off with another woman. And so at that time, she was left there in Haiti by herself and very, very little support. I mean, you can imagine the difficult situation that she was in that. But she could have come home, and I suspect most individuals would have come home. My guess is that she'd already started caring for so many of the children that were there in need that you just couldn't bring herself to leave that place and to come back. So she just dedicated herself in that respect. And the thing that I ask her again and again, "Roberta, how do you do this?" She always just points up to God. I mean, you'd say, "How have you been able? How do you accomplish all of this?" And she won't give an answer. She just sort of points up toward God, toward heaven, and says, classic illustration of somebody saying to God, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And the Lord has blessed her just unbelievably in ways you cannot begin to imagine. But let me tell you one thing. Don't you ever ask Roberta what's happening down in the orphanage. She will climb your back. I happened to be there as we were talking to some people at a Baptist orphanage, and they said something called the work that she was doing in orphanage, and she didn't say anything, but the hair bristled on the back of her head. Well, she did say a little bit. She didn't say anything out of order, but she said, "We don't have an orphanage, we have a family." And there's a world of difference in somebody paid to come in. Roberta is there with 29 children. And she has no cook, she has nobody to help clean the house, she has no help at all rearing those 29 children. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But let's look over at that nutrition center and give you some idea of it. The compound, the part of that compound in which she lives, and you say compound, you think of something that's acres and acres big. I mean, it may be a half an acre. But then there is that adjoining land that is there, and that's where the nutrition center is, and we'll be looking back at that. And back at the back of the nutrition center is where they do the cooking. There's some place where they're raising the fish like commercially, and then there is a place for chickens that they're raised. There's the shed where they feed every day, 5 days a week, 100 neighborhood kids. Roberta has her family in the other side over there, but here are the cooking facilities over in the nutrition center. There's a shed right at the back of that metal building that was there, and they were cooking lunch that day when I was there doing the Book of Revelation, and I walked inside that place, and it had to be 150 degrees. I mean, it was unbelievable. They had all three of those burners going at that time. And in addition, over to the left, you cannot see it here, they had a big charcoal pit, and they were doing some other cooking that was there. Roberta does have two women that come in and work and do the cooking in the nutrition center. That's the only help that she has. Now, it's remarkable that her teenage girls, 15, 16 years of age, they run the nutrition center. She's trying to train these children to be successful people in their lives. And when we're up at that denominational place one time, the orphanage that was up there and the compound that they had up there, they've been there since 1946, and they don't have any Haitians in charge. They're still Americans trying to run every aspect of it. And he remarked to Roberta, it's just so difficult to get to train leaders in this. And when we got back in the truck, Roberta remarked, yeah, you know, it's sort of hard to get a 15-year-old girl to run a nutrition center. But, I mean, those girls are in charge of it. I mean, Roberta is looking over their shoulder, but she doesn't have to look over their shoulders. Her teenage girls are involved in that. Now, if you look back to the right, like if you were standing at the entrance to that shed, look back to the right. There's the place where they're raising fish commercially. And that just gives you some idea of the ponds that are there, individual ponds, and they've got all the way from little small minnows all the way up to big fish. There's also over to the right, and you'll see where that metal is right over in that area. That's where the chickens are kept, and that's where they get their eggs. They had had 31 chickens there, and she was so excited because on September the 1st she was going to get 200 more chicks, and so she was really, really excited about the blessing that was going to come from that. And that, I don't know if you can look through that wire mesh and see the chickens that's there, but that's a little if you knew what you were looking at, you'd be able to see the nest where they lay the eggs and everything. They're able to sell some of those eggs commercially, but it certainly supplies all of their needs. And they also have in this area goats and cattle, or not two or three cows in this same area over in that area, and that's where her boys get out and play soccer. And so you look at the soccer field that's there, and that give you some idea how you like those goalposts that's here and all the rest. It is real interesting to see that. She has her 29 children, and when you ask her how do you cope, she always just points up to God, and that's the remarkable thing. She had 25 children, and before they got what, as they're described there, the babies, she has five babies. Three of them are 17 months old, and two of them are 7 months old. And the next one above that, to give you some idea of the age range, is one that's five. The next above that is 12. And the next above that would be Thomas, I guess, that spoke here and gave and thanked this church for all that we've done. I think he's 21. So if you count, if you leave out the five babies, she was raising 24 children, and 23 of those children were aged 12 to 21. You know, that's 23 teenagers that she's raising. And it is remarkable. How would you like to try to cook breakfast for 23 teenagers? Now, before she took the five babies, she had a family powwow and said, "Do we take any these children that are here?" And the family said, "Oh yes, we'll you know, we can love them and help them in every way they can." The poverty that is there is unbelievable. While I was there one day, a lady knocked on the gate and asked Roberta to take her six starving children. And Roberta just had to say no. I mean, you know, I can't, there's a limit to what you can do. The very next day, there was somebody else there that begged her to take two children. She told me, had not been that many weeks before, that a man pushed a wheelbarrow filled with five children in it up to the gate, begging her to take his children. At church on Sunday, there was a man who's been begging her for a month to take his three children because just impossible to find food for all of that. And she is an unbelievable, remarkable, When you arrive in the house, there's on the wall there, right inside the right above where normally, if it's a normal sized family, you'd have everybody sitting around the table. You can't put 29 kids around the table. Has the schedule, and so everybody in the family has assigned task. And so she doesn't have to get up and wake the kids up and beg the kids to get up and cook breakfast. I mean, they are part of a family. And so if you are assigned to do that, you get up and you cook breakfast for 29 people. I mean, you are in charge of that aspect of that. To my knowledge, that house is mopped and swept every day. It's an amazing thing. I marvel watching watching the teenagers raise those five children. Even the guys were there because they just sort of took turns with the baby, and they bathe them and change diapers and all the rest. And if you happen to be sitting in the living room, you know, you can get a child passed to you without you even asking for it. I know. And so, but that's just the way. And those children are growing up. It's unbelievable how much those children are loved in relationship to that. And, you know, it is family. It's mom to all of those. But her life is just so unbelievably complex of just assuring that there's food there, that the truck runs, that the septic tank that is stopped up does not somebody need to get out and dig the fill lines. And because she's unstopped the septic tank, Bob Duvall went down to do the wiring for the house. And I don't think I have a picture of the mess that was there. Three electricians had been down and thrown up their hands saying, there's no way to handle all of this. And Bob went down and did such a masterful job that they were building the guest house. And he got Roberta's sons to help them do the wiring and find out where. Evidently, every plug, every wall plug had one wire that all ran back to one central place. There was no switch box or anything inside the house. They just all showed up out in the mechanical shed that was there. And Bob, he was supposed to go back on a Wednesday, wasn't he, Sandy? And he died on a Tuesday, or something about like that. The very week he was supposed to go back and finish up the job, Bob passed away. And yet, let me just tell you, and Sandy, you may know this. I don't know if you know it or not, but Roberta's 12-year-old son said, Mom, I think I can do the wiring out there in the guest house. And so a little 12-year-old Haitian that you can't train to have any leadership ability, you know, little 12-year-old kid out there does the wiring. Anybody 12 here? 12 years of age did the wiring for that guest house. They disconnected all the rest of the wiring to the rest of the house, you know, cranked up that generator, and everything worked perfectly from the get-go. She is remarkable in what she's doing in rearing these children. And let me tell you this, the devotional life of that family is unbelievably exemplary. Many of the pictures that we'll have of the kids in a few minutes inside the house were pictures I made during the time of the devotion. But did I tell you she's doing homeschooling? In addition to all of this, she does homeschooling for all of these kids. And so they speak English in the house a lot. They speak Creole, and so they grow up bilingual, which makes it possible for them to get out and get jobs translating. And one of the girls, 15 years of age, was out translating. It was interesting, over at a religious compound where some people had come down for what I call a glorious 2 weeks vacation, so they'll feel good, like we went and did mission work down in Haiti. And but they came down. They couldn't speak to the little children in that orphanage, so they asked Jasmine to come over, and she went over and did the translating for them. And so during the day, the people that were there could not talk to anybody. The administration of the school was rather busy, so they just talked to Jasmine. Four of them, when they got back to the States, obeyed the gospel. But you can't train these Haitians. They have no leadership ability at all. And so it is interesting. But that devotional, what they do is they start the day, they read one of the chapters from the book of Proverbs, and then everybody in the room takes one verse out of that chapter and explains the verse, and then says, and this is how I'm going to put this verse in my life today. What a great... Now, that takes a while when you've got 29 children plus Roberta plus Dan plus David plus two interns that were down there. They were both from Fried Hardeman this year. And so by the time you get, well, the five babies cannot be a part of this, though those three boys at 17 months of age sit, and they were, we don't have any kids in this church that I'm aware of that behave as well as those 17-month-old boys do right there. It is remarkable. And then at evening, they have another family devotion. I'm going to have to hurry. That's Roberta again, and that'll give you some idea. I'm sitting almost on one side of that room. Roberta's on the other side of the room, and then Charlene is over in the other room to give you some idea of where you can put 29 people. Here's the what they call the triplets. They're 17 months old. They're not brothers, but the family said we're going to raise these kids, and it was just thrilling to see how much love that everybody had for that, and how much they were a part of the family. The two babies are seven months old. Give you some idea of the poverty. One of the boys that she got was 3 months old when she got him, and he weighed 6 pounds at 3 months of age. And this particular child was lactose intolerant, and so they'd been trying to give it milk and everything, and the child has cataracts so much the child is blind. And they're a little bit concerned the child may have brain damage also. But, you know, there's a doctor in Memphis who will do the surgery. And I said, Roberta, how did that come about? That's her answer. That's her answer. I mean, it's just, you know, it is absolutely remarkable. And I thought I'd give you an idea of just how cute they are. There's one of the interns, and she got handed one of the babies, and he was flying like an airplane through the air and all the rest. And that just is looking inside that room. And if you look around the wall and you cannot see it, there are cubicles around the wall where the children do their home study work. And you probably can see right here, it was the young man, his name is Christian, I've forgotten his last name, it was MacPherson, yes, from Fried Hardeman. Any of you kids, you know him, Lindsay? Did you know him from Fried Hardeman? And he was there, and then Betsy Frizzell was also there, and I think the previous picture was of Betsy. And so this is in the other room, not the room where Charlene was sitting, but generally where the girls sit when they have their devotion. And there are two playpens that are there. And just to give you some idea, this is what a nighttime devotion looks like, and or a morning devotion. And the whole family is just there, and everybody is a part of everything that's going on. This room also has three cubicles there on the left, and there's Charlene doing some, I guess it's homework with the children. I'm not sure if it's homework or just doing coloring and everything. The curriculum that they have, by the way, is a Christian-based curriculum. And so it'll have a picture of Noah's Ark, and it'll say it was 300 cubits long. If a cubit is 18 inches, how many feet long was the Ark? I mean, it's biblical-based. So all day long, you start with a spiritual devotion, and your homeschooling is all centered around the spiritual side of that. And so here's the table where all 29 of them do not sit down. This is the dining area in that house. Just to the right of this young lady is where the kitchen area is, and that table takes up that whole area, and it probably, you could seat maybe 12 people around it. And then there's no more room. There's the rest of that room. You just sort of walk around the room. And there's David doing a devotion, and a better picture of Christian that's there. But that in and of itself, you give you some idea of the smallness of the house in which she's raising these children. I just stand in awe of everything that I saw there. And, you know, and when I'd ask Charlene, how does it work? All she does is just points up. I mean, it's just... Never met anybody that was just so open in her affirmation about. In fact, Charlene said to me, I don't give a single thought as to whether we'll have food here tomorrow. Is that biblical? Take no thought for tomorrow, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And it, you know, it's not always there, but it is always there. Does that make sense? And that's the reality of it. And so this would be standing where Roberta was sitting and looking back. You can see, you know, their cabinets and other things. And there's one of the young men doing his devotional talk at night. And so I don't know how many boys and girls there are in those 23 teenagers or not. Seems like it's about half and half. But Roberta is training these individuals to be church leaders. I mean, every day they have to get up and preach a sermon about this verse, just a one-minute sermonette or something. And as she talks about the future of the church, she said, here are the future leaders in the church. And that's the absolute truth because, it's remarkable. This is out in the garage that was there, and there's just an old stove that was there. But that's the entrance. You go in this door just where you see the green wall. If you were right inside, there's steps that go upstairs there. And then just you immediately walk, if you turn to the right, you're immediately in that dining area. And there is Thomas, the young man who spoke here for us and thanked us for all that we do. Let me hurry through some of these slides to give you some idea of the things. That's one of the triplets there. Talk a little bit about the church and things that are happening there in relationship to the church. David asked me, would I go and teach the book of Revelation? And I said, gladly. But it's a little bit difficult to teach a book as complex as the book of Revelation. 5 hours a day, all day, Friday and Saturday, through a translator. And these next several slides, more of them are from the Sunday service than from the Revelation study. There were 93 certificates passed out to those who attended the Revelation seminar. To give you some idea of what's involved there, let me just take just a moment as I talk about this and introduce another aspect of this, and that is the practice of voodooism in Haiti. I asked Roberta, almost when I first got there, have you seen any voodoo stuff that you could not explain? She says, yes, but he's greater. And so they grow up in a culture with even Christians still believing in voodooism. Their doctors are voodoo doctors. If you've got a sick child and, you have a whole lot of faith in the voodoo doctors. And back up to talk about the history of Haiti, it was a French colony back during the days of Napoleon, and the slaves there rebelled against the masters that were there and overthrew the French and even defeated Napoleon's army. To give you some idea. But they did it by praying to the devil and using the witch doctors. And so a part of that whole lifestyle is there is a belief that Satan is more powerful than God. And so if they want to have good fortune, instead of talking to God about it, you pray to the devil. You go to the voodoo doctor or the witch doctor, and he'll make all of the good things happen to you. Now, some of the good things that are happening there is 30% of the adult population in Haiti has AIDS. 30% have AIDS. The voodoo doctor says there's no such thing as AIDS. It's just an invention of the white man to try to scare you in relationship to that. Now, families that are starving to death will take their own daughters and use them to raise money. And Roberta has one girl, one of the teenage girls. She got the girl when she was 12. Her two sisters had died at age 17 of AIDS because their parents had taken their teenage daughters, the two big sisters, had carried them down the street just to sell them for sex. And they were ready to do this with the 12-year-old daughter that Roberta has. And they were going to take her and at that age and sell her for sex. And so Roberta adopts that child. And thank God for, thank God for God, I guess, in relationship to that. And I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but it's a real part of the life that was there. One of the workers in the nutrition center was sick. And Roberta went to see, she was 15 years of age, but she worked there in the nutrition center, and one of the cooks went by, and the girl's legs were swollen up this big, Roberta said. And Roberta told the father, you need to take this child to the doctor. Well, I'm taking her to the doctor. She went every day. The girl kept getting worse and worse until the other leg got so infected it swelled up to the equal amount. And there were red streaks going from that infection toward her heart. And Roberta said to that father, "She is dying." He said, "Well, I'm taking her to the doctor." And Roberta, in her forceful way, says, "And what is the doctor doing for her?" "Well, he's rubbing car oil on her belly." And Roberta said, "Car oil is wonderful for automobiles, but it's not real good for blood poisoning. Your daughter is dying." So Roberta forcefully, not by force, but was very forceful in her words, carried the young lady to the doctor, and the young lady survived. She was in the hospital 10 days just to try to get rid of all the infection that was there. So I asked Roberta about the matter of sacrifice. I said, "Do they sacrifice?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "What do they sacrifice?" And she says, I said, "Goats." She says, "No, chickens and infants." And I let that slide, and then I thought, I cannot let it slide. 5 minutes later, I said, "Infants?" I said, "What?" And they mutilate them. They have a mortar and pistol. Is that what a chemist uses, a druggist uses? A large one of those. Put the baby down inside of it and crush the baby, begging Satan to bless them. And that's when I asked Roberta, "What was it like when you got here?" She said, "When I arrived, there was just a cloud of evil, not literally, but a cloud of evil all over this land. And it's still there. And it is so much wrapped up in there." And so here, I think this is from a Sunday service. You can look back in the back, and that's where the cook shed is. See all the windows it's got in it? That really helps a lot with that heat situation. It does have windows on the side. But that's the Sunday service, and I think that is David up speaking through a translator, if I'm not mistaken. That's who that is. And these are just pictures that were made during that Sunday service. I preached a lesson about come and see, and got all of them. I learned how to say in Creole, come and see, and had the whole church saying come and see. And so as part of the sermon, we'd say, "Now, when we see people this week, what are we going to say to them?" And we're going to say, "Come and see," and we just kept doing that again and again and again. And it was rather successful because at the end of the service, we had some who came to see, okay? And oh, it was just amazing. Right at the end of the service, all the goats and the cows came over. And it was a remarkable thing that transpired there. And there's a frustrated preacher going back after he's preached to see all of that. There's their nighttime protection right there. Not right there, but right there. The nighttime protection is Rockweilers. Don't tell me those dogs are vicious. They lay on the floor and the babies crawl all over those dogs all during the daytime. At nighttime, she's got four of them, I think. She puts them all outside, and they would not let us walk outside the garage and walk around to the back of the house lest the Rockweilers attack us. And so that is her protection. We've got about 2 minutes. What questions do you have? Anybody got a question? Maybe 5 minutes. We had oatmeal for breakfast. I told Roberta, I said, when I got there, I said, "Don't put on the dog for me." I found out later they eat dogs there, so I should have taken some different word. But if she took it literally, I was rather thankful, you know. And she did. She went out of her way to put on good meals. But one night for supper, had a peanut butter sandwich and a small glass of Kool-Aid. And that's it. And so, you know, that's what you eat. Bananas, you know, plantains, and whatever is there, whatever is in the marketplace. Let me tell you how spiritual this family is. Every now and then they'll have a fast day, and all the money they would normally spend for food that day, they send to a poor widow in Panama. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's an unbelievable spiritual household, and I really believe it's the future of the church that's there. Any other questions? Yes, Gorman.
How in the world did you get into a book of Revelation speaking to a Creole translator? Something that, why did you pick something a little simple? I've been doing it for a year.
Well, Gorman, I always looked on teaching you the book of Revelation as training to go down and speak to people in a foreign language. By the way, Gorman, my Revelation class, you don't know this, but you're going to pay for the trip to go down there, okay? My Monday night class, guys, you don't know about it, but you're going to buy my ticket for going down there, so you'll be a part of that. But it was great. Interesting enough, when I got to Revelation 12 and I got to the dragon, hands went up all over. You know, there were 85 people under that shed, and 60 hands went up when the first time I mentioned dragon. And they said, "Does this have anything to do with rubbing oil on the stomach?" Now, I did not know the rest of the other story I told you. I had not heard that story at all. And so out of the blue, the dragon is cast out of heaven, and a hand goes up, and it speaks in Creole, and my translator says, "Does it have anything to do with rubbing oil on the belly?" And I didn't have a clue what that was all about. And I said, "Not to my knowledge." Dirk, you got a comment.
Has anybody made the connection between being the poorest nation in the world and worshiping Satan?
Great comment. You hear that? Has anybody made the connection between being the poorest nation in the world and worshiping Satan? I mean, it is remarkable. Gwen? She has a daytime guard. She has a guard in the daytime. Estes, the church up in Tennessee that supported her and her husband, I think his name was Robert, if I'm not mistaken, to go down there originally. They're very supportive of the work that they're doing. They send down medical teams every year to work there. Estes has been renting a guest house, which is two streets over from where Roberta is. And Estes is trying to buy that guest house. They're so confident they're going to get it, they sent down 40 bunk beds. And Roberta said this will be the best thing that could happen, because now the church, instead of meeting at the nutrition center and the whole neighbor look at it as being Roberta's church, and her family being the backbone of the church, setting up the chairs, fixing the, preparing the communion, passing out the song books and doing everything, now with the church meeting over at the new place. And so they're in the process there of trying to make that happen. And I just thank God, for that I was able to go. I want to thank this church for getting rid of me for that weekend. I'm telling you, it may have been a real blessing to you, but if it was a blessing to you, you cannot begin to imagine what a blessing it was to me. I went to India and saw starving people. When I came back from India, I used to pray every time before I ate. I don't do that anymore. And I was reminded of it when I came back from Haiti this time. Don't pray before you eat. Offer thanks. I don't like those little English peas, those green peas. And I had them on my plate one night. And every bite I took, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for green peas." I mean that. I was so thankful for food that I just don't eat in America. And I was so thankful. And you cannot imagine how good a peanut butter sandwich tastes. Cannot begin to imagine. There are a lot of other things, but that's it for tonight. You are dismissed.